From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Joshua as he begins the second of two messages entitled Principles of Spiritual Warfare. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Jude, verse 24, able to keep you from falling. In some sense, the path to heaven is very safe, but in other respects, there is no road so dangerous. It is beset with difficulties. One false step, and how easy it is to take that if grace be absent, and down we go. What a slippery path is that which some of us have to tread. How many times have we to exclaim with the psalmist, My feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. If we were strong, sure-footed mountaineers, this would not matter so much. But in ourselves, how weak we are. In the best roads, we soon falter. In the smoothest paths, we quickly stumble. These feeble knees of ours can scarcely support our tottering weight. A straw may throw us, and a pebble can wound us. We are mere children, tremblingly taking our first steps in the walk of faith. Our Heavenly Father holds us by the arms, or we should soon be down. Oh, if we are kept from falling, how must we bless the patient power which watches over us day by day? Think how prone we are to sin, how apt to choose danger, how strong our tendency to cast ourselves down. And these reflections will make us sing more sweetly than we've ever done. Glory be to Him who is able to keep us from falling. We have many foes who try to push us down. The road is rough and we are weak. But in addition to this, enemies lurk in ambush, who rush out when we least expect them, and labor to trip us up or to hurl us down the nearest precipice. Only an almighty arm can preserve us from these unseen foes who are seeking to destroy us. Such an arm is engaged for our defense. He is faithful that hath promised, and He is able to keep us from falling, so that with a deep sense of our utter weakness, we may cherish a firm belief in our perfect safety, and say with joyful confidence, Against me earth and hell combine, but on my side is power divine. Jesus is all, and He is mine.
For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. so small. Lord, make me trust Thee, whatever befall. Thou art all holy, make no mistake. Lord, make me Christ-like, whatever it takes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking the time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by phone, by email, or by regular postal mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish to write, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio. ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. Just prior to the battle for Jericho, the Lord Himself came to Joshua to remind him that although physical activity is necessary in the work of the Lord, there must first be meeting with God Himself. During the previous message, Dr. Cairns listed the first principle as a recognition of the reality of the spiritual world. Then, in this spiritual battle, victory is assured because the Lord Himself fights for His people. Next, the appearance of the captain of the Lord's hosts taught Joshua that communion with Christ must precede contending with the enemy. As he returns to this theme, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that in this spiritual warfare, the battle is the Lord's. Israel was about to encounter the greatest opposition they had ever seen, but the Lord, who had promised them the victory, would fight for them. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce the second message in Principles of Spiritual Warfare.
We're returning this morning to the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 5, and the final verses of the chapter, verse 13 through 15. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day morning, I was pointing out that the Lord held the children of Israel at Gilgal for quite a prolonged time. Militarily, it didn't seem to make any sense that a great army should cross the Jordan and have the city of Jericho all shut up in defense against it. And then, for no apparent reason, to spend quite a long time, as far as the men of Jericho could see, doing nothing. Quite a long time before beginning their assault on the heavily fortified city of Jericho. As I said last week, to a military mind, it would appear to have been an error. For it gave time for the people in Jericho to strengthen their already formidable defenses. It gave them time, if so moved, to call in help from other cities. And we find from later chapters in the book of Joshua that the cities of that area, though often at loggerheads one with another, were not slow to amalgamate in their opposition to the Israelites. But still, it did make very good sense for the Lord to keep his people at Gilgal before they proceeded to Jericho. It was only an appearance that would say it was not sensible, that militarily or some other way it was weak. Far from that, this was the best procedure, because at Gilgal, the Lord did three things. First of all, he reinstituted the covenant of circumcision. You may recollect that when we studied that, I showed you that its meaning for us is that personal godliness is necessary to all Christian living and service. And the children of Israel, as the covenant was reinstituted, had to learn the power of spiritual living and personal godliness. Then the Passover was reinstated. And we learn from that that feasting on Christ crucified is the key to God's people entering into their possessions in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those were the first two things the Lord did at Gilgal. Those were the spiritual lessons that he taught the people of God. Now, the third great thing the Lord did at Gilgal, he sent the captain of the Lord's host. This is what theologians call a Christophany, a pre-incarnation appearance of Christ for a specific purpose and for a limited time with his people. He sent the captain of the Lord's host to meet with Joshua. As the commander-in-chief of the armies, Joshua was surveying the defenses of Jericho one last time. No doubt planning, as every good soldier would, for every contingency, or seeking to. But then, this stranger, armed and ready for war, stands before him. Joshua, courageous as ever, boldly approaches him, demanding who he is and why he's there. Is he for the Israelites, or is he for their enemies? He is astonished at the reply, "Nay, but as captain of the Lord's host am I now come." Joshua immediately recognizes the meaning and significance of this encounter, acknowledges this to be his Lord, and says, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" The answer was, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy." Last week I was pointing out that here we have what we can call the principles of spiritual warfare. Here there are seven things that we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battle. Now, as soon as I say seven things, you will immediately understand why we didn't get it all finished last week. We covered the first three of those great truths that we must recognize as we fight the Lord's battle. First of all, we must recognize the reality of the spiritual world. Second, we must recognize that victory for God's people is assured before the battle commences. And third, we must recognize that communion takes precedence over contending. We spent some time considering that last week, that though Joshua was called to be a soldier and had a divine call to lead the armies into battle, yet the Lord detained him to meet with Christ. He had to see Christ before he met and saw the enemy. And as we went through the scriptures, we saw that that is an unbreakable rule for the people of God. There had to be communion before contending. We tend to be too much in a hurry to get on to what we think are the practical things. We must be doing, we must be battling, we must be fighting. Well, we discover from Scripture that that is all true. We must be battling, we must be contending for Jesus Christ. But taking precedence over that, and indeed enabling us to do that, there must be this place of communion. It is in the place of communion with Christ. It is directly from Christ that we learn how to live the Christian life, and we learn, secondly, how we are to fight the battle of Christ against all the powers of darkness. It is in communion with Christ that all the facts that we have learned from Scripture, all the truths that we have learned from study, become heart-gripping realities that direct our lives. You see, just because a man can quote the Scripture does not mean that he's spiritually effective. Now, let me make you realize you will not be spiritually effective while you keep yourself in ignorance of Scripture. And I'm making no plea or apology for laziness in the study of the Word of God. Far from it. But you need to learn that merely to be able to quote Scripture, merely to know the outline of systematic theology, merely to be able to put in order the proof texts and the proof arguments of all the great matters of the faith will not equip you to be spiritually effective. These things are essential, but while they merely lodge in the head, they will not direct the life. It is not merely in the place of intellectual exercise. It is in the place of personal communion with Christ that your heart is gripped, that what you learn as truth will grip your soul, and it will so grip that soul that it will direct you and enable you and make you effective in the work of God. Now, having learned those things, we come to the fourth thing which we must recognize in spiritual warfare, and that is that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Joshua had led the children of Israel across the River Jordan. Before them there stood unconquered the entire land of Canaan. Blocking their progress immediately was the oldest of all the fortified cities, a place of warriors, a place that was built to withstand any army's attack in that day. Here was a great challenge to Joshua. Here was something that was going to test the mettle of the armies of Israel. It was going to probe the manliness of the soldiers of Israel. It was going to get to the depths of those men and see what was in them. That was all in Joshua's mind as he stood there surveying the city of Jericho. Of course, the Israelites had proved themselves a little in war, but what they had seen was nothing in comparison to what they were about to see. The opposition they had known was little or nothing in comparison to the opposition they were now about to encounter. Joshua recognized all that, and it must have weighed very, very heavily on his heart, because he knew these people as few people could have known Israel. He knew their strengths, he knew their weaknesses, he knew their fickleness, he knew how easily discouraged they became, he knew how quickly they would turn tail and run. He knew all that. What a comfort it was then, when just outside of Jericho, he saw the captain of the Lord's host with his sword drawn. He was ready for battle. The message to Joshua was very clear. He could now start thinking more clearly than ever before. His thoughts must have been such as to bring tremendous joy to his soul. He could say to himself, "It's true, I'm going into battle. But as I go, the Lord is going before me. He is the captain of this host, not I. He has made this cause his cause. He has his sword already drawn. Beyond all I do with my sword, he will exercise his power and wield his sword. Therefore, the responsibility for the outcome of this battle is not mine, it is the Lord's. The battle is not mine, it is the Lord's." Now that is one of the most significant and far-reaching realizations that can grip the heart of any man or woman who's seeking to live the Christian life and who's seeking to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Christian life and service, there are two extremes. They are extremes to be avoided. First of all, there is the extreme of saying, "Well, God is on the throne, he will do his will, and I don't need to do anything." That is fatalism. That is not Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It is not even a second cousin or a distant cousin 42 times removed from the biblical doctrine of the sovereignty and predestination of God. That is fatalism, pure and simple, and fatalism is intrinsically a doctrine of heathenism. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to be so frenetic in your activity, so burdened with your sense of duty, that you are always in defeat, that you take upon yourself the total responsibility of the success of the work of God, and therefore not seeing what you feel responsible to produce, you will do one of two things. You will drive yourself to almost insanity, or you will start manufacturing methods that will produce what look like spiritual results, but which ultimately will have no spiritual or lasting significance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.